Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. And sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break. But I'm holding on. To a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long. The day you return and heal every hurt and right every come and turn this around. Cause deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. There'll be no war. There'll be no change. When Jesus comes, let today be the day. You come for the weak strong just the same. And all will believe in the power of his name. So come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long. The day you return, heal every hurt and right every wrong. Oh, we need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long. Day you return to heal every heart and right every wrong. Oh, oh, how we need you right now. Oh, come and turn this around. Deep down we know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Jesus come. One day he'll come and we'll stand face to face. Come and lay it all down. It might be today. Time is right now. There's no reason to wait. Your past will be washed by rivers of grace. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return. Heal every hurt and right every come and turn this around. 'Cause deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Oh, come, Jesus, come. Jesus,
well, good morning. Welcome. My name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor of Hope on the Beach Church, and we welcome you home here. This is a no judgment zone. It means it's okay not to be okay. This is a place of God's grace where He comes and gathers His people to dwell with them. And I don't know about you, but what your week has been like, but it's been a heavy week. And it's a good time and a right time to just dwell with God. Because these things, these problems in our culture and our world are not going away. And so we really need God to come. We can't fix ourselves. We can't fix this. And we truly need to run to Him. And say, God, you know, I don't want to be carrying anger. I don't carry these grudges. I can't carry all this grief. And I can't carry this weight. And I know things aren't right. And I know they're not magically going to get right. But I do know one thing. The one who can make it right, the one who can change things, is alive on the throne. Amen. And He's a King who has come. He told us we'll have troubles. But He also said, beware, I've overcome those troubles. Satan loves to steal and rob and destroy. And he might not be attacking always the church physically, although I believe that's happened. And we've seen it, assassination. But he is trying to take the spirit out of your heart. He's trying to rob you of the life with Jesus. And fill it with everything else. With pain and hurt and anger. Instead of the Spirit of God that brings peace, love, life, truth. And we've just gotten to a point where this world is just so full of everything else, we can't even have a conversation. We've forgotten the very simple thing of just loving a neighbor. We can totally disagree and I can still love you. We've forgotten those simple things. I mean, Jesus calls us even to love our enemies, and that just seems so out of bounds. We've made everybody enemy who doesn't agree to us, and social media has helped that because it just tells us how right we are. And I think the other part I see is that we just don't know how to shepherd our hearts. We don't know how to have boundaries up. And we just take way too much in. And when you take all that in and then you get squeezed, it just all that junk comes out. And so we're starting church a little different here today. I think we got to just, as I said before, months ago, I said, we got to detox. We got to let this poison get out of us. It's not to be raining in our head and our hearts. The spirit of peace. It's the kingdom of heaven. Because we serve a greater king than it's on this earth. I don't care who's in the office. The king is on the throne. And that's whose kingdom I'm concerned about. Because everybody came aligned with that kingdom, this world, I don't care what is on the books, would be a different place. And so, God invites us. He's here. Part of worship that we forget, we tend to think, okay, it's our prayers, our songs, our listening. You know, part of worship is God is coming to minister to us. He's coming to give you that rest. We say Sabbath, set it apart, and rest. Why? Because when you sit still and humble yourself and get out of the world, God can finally start to speak. God can start to move more in your heart. So I want us to just breathe in the presence of God. Breathe Him in. Exhale. Allow Him to minister to your heart now. He says, cast all your burdens on me. Take up my yoke, for it is light. Just exhale on Him today. Unload right now. Let them deeper in. Just run to the Father. Because He's running after you. Let the place where your heart is lost, let Him come and save you. Let Him come pick you up. Let that part that's broken come to the surface. Let the God who heals, the crucified Christ, that in His wounds we are healed, let Him speak, let Him move. We can't understand it all. We don't. But we do know what You've told us. That God, You will work all things for good for those who love You. God, speak Your goodness in us. Work Your goodness in us. Grace, for your love, for your presence. And God, let us now, let us just exalt you. Let us exalt you in our heart and our lives, and humble ourselves of our need for you. We cry out, our soul cries out in ways we don't even put words to, your Bible says, that the Spirit is interceding for us. He's trying to minister to us. God, break through. Break through today. We pray in Jesus' name. And I invite us to rise and continue our worship as we continue in the worship folder on page one.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love.
Sing it again.
Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. And hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. At the flowers and all of their beauty, don't have to wonder, know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear of tomorrow and what it will bring. If I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. And every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing,
seek first the kingdom.
Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide.
Sing everything I need.
And everything I need. Everything I need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time.
You know, that song also applies to this nation right now. So let's just sing that chorus one more time. But we'll say everything we need.
And everything we need, everything we need, my Father has it. Our Father has it, and every single time the Lord will provide. 'Cause our Father has it, our Father has it. God, we thank you and we take and trust that, man, just that word says, you have it. And so we run to you, we turn to you, we come to you because you are the one we truly need. And we praise you for being here and showing up in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have no way always to guess how many people are going to show or predict this. And so we're grateful that you're all here. We have gotten more bulletins, so if you'd like to get a bulletin, just raise your hand real quickly, or you can, go ahead. They're going to come around. You're also welcome to go on hopeandbeach.com. The bulletin is there. If you just scroll down, you can click it, open it up. But I know that it's a lot easier with paper and everything. And so our director of ministry, Steve, is going to bring the word today as we kick off our new series today in Genesis. So, Steve, please.
Well, good morning. Been quite the week. Lots of events that many of you have strong feelings about and reactions to. And yet God's timing is impeccable because we're launching a brand new series based on the book of Genesis. That's the very first book in the Bible. If you never get to the Old Testament, that's where it all began. And so we have a full series built on the book of Genesis, looking at what's really our history, how Christ came to us from that creation of the world that he was a part of, and how he led folks, we call them patriarchs, and their families to follow him. And so today we're going to focus on the beginning. Man by the name of Abram, who later became known as Abraham, but for today's purposes, he's Abram. And the reason I say God's timing is impeccable is because many of us are celebrating the life that Charlie Kirk lived that was taken too soon. But like Abram, Charlie heard God's call and obeyed. He did what God ask him to do. We all have a call on our life. Say, oh, I don't know, Steve, I'm just a guy with my job, my family. I'm no Charlie Kirk. Why? We're all called to go and do. We live under the Great Commission. We're told that as we go, we share. We make disciples. That's a call. You say, well, yeah, but God meant that for everybody else but me. Oh, no, he didn't. No, we'd like to think so. Even Moses was hoping so when he received his call and he said, oh, you got the wrong guy. I can't talk. I stutter. You probably meant to call my brother. Lots of us brothers pull that, you know. It's always the little brother. He did it. Mom's calling you. And then he gets home and mom wasn't calling him. We like to pass the buck. We like to think that when God calls, it's not us, but it is. God has a call on your life. I want us to look at Abram's life today and see what we can learn about it. See what we learn from him that would help us. Because our experience, even though this was way back in the day of Genesis, our experience in 2025 is not a whole lot different. And when God calls, we have a responsibility to hear him. Let's take a look. In your bulletin, and as Pastor said, if you don't have a paper one, you can go to our website and scroll down to it. The notes for the sermon are there, or they are in your bulletin, if you'd like to follow. The scripture we're going to read is there in your bulletin as well. So let's look at our scripture. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram receives this call. Now we don't know how Abram got his call. Abram is new to God. He's just received God's call. Abram just became aware that there is a God in heaven. And he may have heard his audible voice. There is evidence in Scripture that often folks heard God's voice from heaven. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was a gentle whisper like others in the Bible had experienced. Maybe it was a nudging. However it was, Abram woke up one day and knew without a doubt God was calling him. Now, has that ever happened to you? It may have been a long time ago, and you've managed to push it out of your head, push it out of your mind. You remember a day when God called? when God nudged you, when God was leading you, but you refused. You see, under point one, letter A, God can call us in various ways. Now, there are those among us who want to get a little mystical about this sort of thing. They love to talk about hearing God's voice. They want to talk about weird events in nature that they witness, and they somehow place a meaning on it. So I see an apple fall off the produce cart, and I think God's trying to tell me to eat more apples. And here's one. Yeah, but it just fell on the floor. God can call in various ways, but we're not always sure what those are going to be. And we sometimes read into things more than we should. I want to give you just one word of caution. Can I do that? And that word is that God will never, you can underline that, it's not anywhere for you to underline, but in your mind, God will never call you to do something contrary to His Word. And so for us to recognize God's call, it helps for us to have a working knowledge of His Word. More folks get instruction through Scripture than any other way. As you're reading a particular text, your heart is moved. Pastor just came back from a conference, which was obviously a blessing to him when I hear him share about it. And his heart has been moved. In fact, little preacher inside story, it's killing him that I'm preaching today. But I look at it as though I'm taking one for the team. Because when he gets fired up, woo! So sometimes we need to recognize God can call us in various ways. We don't know how Abram was called, but we know that he absolutely knew he was. He knew he was. And look at what Romans 10 says. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And second, letter B, we need to obey. The call to Abram would not have meant much if he hadn't obeyed it. If he hadn't agreed to do what God was telling him to do. If he hadn't gone on and picked up. Look at the scripture in Hebrews 11. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You see, the modern day Christian has become someone that we think God owes an explanation. We want to know every little thing, don't we? We want to know, what's that going to cost? Well, how much time is that going to take? Who's going with me? What do I have to do when I get there? What if I don't like it? Oh, we are spoiled little brats, aren't we? As this week demonstrated, we've grown to the point our hate has fired up so badly, as Pastor said, we can't even have a conversation. We can't come to a public forum where everybody there knows why Charlie's there. No surprises. He hadn't been hiding under a rock. He hasn't been timid about his faith or his beliefs. And folks come to hear him, but we can't have a conversation. And if you watch any of his videos, if you followed him at all, he is one of the most polite debaters I've ever heard. I couldn't do it. I'd start name calling. I'd pass out idiot t-shirts. I couldn't do it. But he was special. Why was he special? Because he was born special? Nah. He was special because he answered God's call. Here's what I want you to know, beloved. Abraham wouldn't have experienced any of our history. He wouldn't have been the father of faith if he hadn't obeyed, accept the call. We have all been called. You say, well, Steve, I don't have a lot of gifts. I can't do a lot of things. You can do one thing, because God called you to it. And that is, we are all called to the Great Commission. We're all called to share. You say, well, my thoughts get all jumbled up. Well, maybe God's going to send you to somebody who can't think straight. And you'll make sense to them. Listen, we can't start circling things and asking God, before I go, I want to know. Nope. Abram didn't know a thing. God said, I want you to go from your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house. I want you to leave everything you know. And I just want you to go. I'll show you. And most of us would say, oh, I'm not falling for that. Nope. I want to know where we're going. Which clothes should I pack? How should I dress? What do I look like? God just said, get up, take it all, and go. And here's the amazing thing. Abram did just that. He got up, packed up his apparently just flat-out gorgeous wife, Sarah, and he took his nephew. Why in the world would you take your nephew? He takes his nephew, and off they go. We don't know where we're going, but we're going. My only reason is God said so. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been at a place where you're thinking, or maybe even someone asks you, what are we doing? All I can tell you is God said, go. We're going. And so under number two, the call took Abram out of his comfort zone. There again, we're saying, oh, no, you don't. I'm not getting off this couch. Florida's playing. I'm not getting off this couch. I'm not leaving home. I'm not stepping out without knowing what the future holds. Abram left his comfort zone. Listen to the scripture. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. Hello. When he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, still asking why, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Now, if you know your Old Testament, you know that's more than just an, oh, by the way. The Canaanites were in the land. That was a big deal. I'm thinking Abram could have had the thought cross his mind, nobody said anything about Canaanites. Don't discard what you can do to change the world. Especially in today's world, where you can get in front of this camera and through the magic of the internet, which, by the way, I doubt hardly anybody sitting here understands how it works. But you trust it, don't you? Oh, it's got to be true. It was on the internet. Have you ever yet heard of AI? Now you can't even trust what's on the internet. Because some little guy in his mama's basement is making up stories and putting them out there just to see if the world buys it. You see fake video now. We hear fake news now. We hear all kinds of things that never happened, but we're making them up. So in this world, with this technology, your influence can be felt. Your witness for Christ can multiply more so than it ever used to across the back fence. You have a chance to point an entire world to the cross and Christ. And the sacrifice he made, we have a chance to multiply the places where the gospel can go. And beloved, I don't get fired up in front of you a lot. I have contained myself many times. But I am going to tell you today, we have a call upon ourselves to pass that gospel. We are called to say it, to show it, to call people to it. That's what the Great Commission is. Are you doing it? You say, well, I don't know. That may get me in a conversation that I don't want to be in. Abram didn't know where he was going, but he knew God had his back. And let me tell you, God will not call you to do something in order to embarrass you or ruin you. God is not in the habit of hating you. He doesn't want to belittle you. He doesn't want to make fun of you. God wants to use you to get his gospel out there. It's part of the mission statement. Awakening hearts to Jesus every day, everywhere. everybody. It's part of our vision statement. As we look to establish worship centers and preaching stations all up and down this beautiful beach, God has called us to special things in 2025. We can read about and hear this whole fall about the heroes in Genesis. We can hear about them. We can learn from them. But can I challenge you? In today's world, we need to become them. We need to be our own heroes for God's kingdom. Pastor mentioned being in God's kingdom and He being our King. That makes us children of the King. That's where I'm going to wait. Because, you know, it's been probably 20 minutes and you're starting to snooze. I'm going to try that again. And you know the word I'm looking for. Well, amen, in case some of you are a little tight. Let's try this again. We're in God's kingdom and God is our King. Ooh, that was weak, preacher. One more time. Act like I'm announcing your team won the World Series. We're part of God's kingdom, and God is our King. Oh, we're getting better. Pretty soon, hands are going to go in the air. We're going to have church. Yeah, He's our King. You know that, what that means? I heard this word already this morning. Again, Pastor used it, laid it on me. I don't think He was talking about Him over me, but He kept using the word authority. Saying we, the church, have been given authority. We are able to step out and do what God wants us to do. Do you realize there are 3.4 billion, with a B, unreached people in the world? 3.4 billion. Unreached. And you know who God put in charge of that? The church. The church. He first put the apostles in charge of the gospel. And then He then put them planting churches. And He put the church in control of getting the gospel out. We are responsible for carrying the gospel. He hasn't trusted anybody but the church. We've got some great organizations. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Farm Bureau. We got all kinds. We got agriculture. We got conservation. We got folks in charge of fishing. We've thought of everything. We've got a control base for just about everything we like to do. Nobody has the job of the church. We're to carry the gospel. And it's going, I don't even have to say might, I'm going to say it will take you out of your comfort zone. For all the same reasons, we don't want to get in a conversation we can't finish. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to make anybody feel like I'm smarter than they are. We got all kinds of reasons to hesitate to follow the Great Commission. But the truth is, We have to get out of our comfort zone. But not without cover. Our King is with us. Our King goes before us. In fact, Paul told Timothy, "Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it." Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. God's not going to leave you hanging. God's going to go before you. Abram had God going before you, but he had to first leave his comfort zone. We'll never know what God can do until we step out and go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never known that they wouldn't have burned in that furnace unless they stepped out of their comfort zone and stood when everybody else bowed. The disciples wouldn't have stood there dumbfounded holding 12 baskets of leftover food after feeding 5,000 people with just 2 fish and 5 loaves. If they hadn't done what Jesus said, pass it out. They could have stood there and argued all day. You're not getting 2 fish and 5 loaves to 5,000 men alone. That's not going to work, Jesus. Now, first of all, I question your sanity when you want to tell Jesus that ain't going to work. But he said, pass it out. We have to leave our comfort zone. Point A, faith will lead us to new experiences. Jesus said to them, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." When he's brought us out, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We have his light, we have his voice. And we can follow him. We can answer the call today because he is with us. We say around here, we've said it before. Old preacher said it the first time. When God shows up, God shows off. Miracles can happen every day. We won't know if we don't follow and accept. One more point to be made, and it hurts. So I'm going to prepare you. Take a minute, take a breath, because here comes the punchline. Abram gave up control. What? I've worked too hard to get control. You can't be telling me I'm supposed to give up control. Listen, when God's Spirit indwells our hearts and lives, he wants control. He doesn't want to have a battle every day. Who's in charge? He's in charge. He's the King. Look at Genesis 12. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I'll give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Abram gave up control. He built an altar to say, we're still together, right? God said, right. But let's keep going. And he kept going. Point A, trusting is the hardest part of following Christ. Trusting is the hardest part. Giving up control and accepting God's call. Psalm 37 says this, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do we need it any plainer, any clearer? Now let me speak to you as my family at Hope. And I can't tell you how blessed Judy and I feel to be a part of this fellowship. I can't tell you how I'm blessed to come alongside a man like Jason Sheeler and proclaim the gospel together. But it came about because point B was true in my life and Judy's life. We should be looking for the next chapter in our story, not the conclusion. And I say that to you because many folks come to Santa Rosa Beach and in other these towns up and down this beach to conclude their life. We begin to change our direction. We begin to look for other things to entertain us and direct us. But can I challenge you this morning? If God were done with you here, He would be done with you here. A lot of people don't understand what God was thinking when He takes somebody like Charlie Kirk so early. All I can tell you, like every call that God puts on our life, is when He's done with our call, then only glory awaits us. Yes, our world is sorrowful, our world is hurting, but not the whole world. Some folks are happy. But I'm telling you who's the happiest. And that's our King, who welcomed Charlie home, put his arms around him. Well done, brother. Well done. I don't tear up a lot. Judy criticizes me for that. In fact, she calls me a jerk sometimes. Perfectly normal. I deserve that. But I came to tears when the story came out that as Charlie's body landed on that plane in Arizona, the air traffic controller said, "Welcome home." That touched me not because some air traffic controller welcomed Charlie, but I could hear Jesus saying the same thing. I could hear him saying it. I want to hear him say it when I go home. Don't you want to say it when you go home? Don't you want to hear him say it? Don't you want to know you've done what God has asked you to do? Don't conclude your life, beloved. Don't look for the finish line. Look for the next chapter. Hear God's call. Respond. Our memory verse says it this way: in God I trust and am not afraid. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Come on, man. You know what our calling, man, is to complete the Great Commission. That's what our calling is. Complete the Great Commission. You want Jesus to come? He says he'll come back when every tongue, every tribe, and every nation has heard the gospel. There's 3.2 billion who don't know the gospel yet. Haven't heard it. And some of them are right next to you. Let's put feet to this, okay? Let's not just go and say, yeah, I agree. Let's put feet to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can't do this without you. This part is just a humbling thing. And we like to look at the king, just like Pharaoh, and say, you're not a king. Come on, prove yourself. Convince me that I should stop doing my life the way I'm doing it and follow you. I mean, the little Caiaphas, little priest, little boy who said, hey, show me your king. I mean, who are we? God, you're the king. And it's only by you we have been your children and been given this grace that you showed us on the cross. That was the calling. And to be your children, as your children live as you and be Christ-like, and you give us this great call to complete the Great Commission. And yeah, we're going to have conversations because conversations lead to conversions. And we're going to be pushed out. But we're the king's sons and daughters. You're with us. And you gave us the authority with the Spirit of God. It's not us. It's you. And so, God, we step forward in faith with that. We step forward in that authority and that confidence of that. Let not this word not settle and set in our hearts. Let us give legs to the gospel. You say, beautiful are the feet of the gospel because they move with the gospel. So, Lord, we intercede for all who don't know you. We intercede in our families, in this nation, and beyond it, in this world. But we don't have to go all the way to the world. We just got to take care of the world you placed us in, where you've given us authority, influence in our work, in our play, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our friends. And so, Lord, we call upon you, the name that says, name above all names. And we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'll keep this short. God calls you to tithe and give. And so the envelope's in your worship folder. It's online. Deal with the king. May your worship be a reflecting of your faith and trusting him and leading you. Secondly, in your worship folder, we didn't talk about it earlier, there's a connection card. We love to recognize your presence with us. And if you want to take a next step today, look, if you've never crossed that line of faith and said, yes, I confirm my faith in Jesus and the gift of grace he's given me, the gift of faith that he is my Lord and Savior, and you want to know how to be saved, come talk to us. And the Bible says if you want to be saved, you believe. Believe, not just in your head, but with your whole life. That's what belief was. It wasn't just an academic agreement. It was mind, body, heart, and soul. And be baptized. I don't know if you know, the water's pretty gorgeous over there. It's right here. God could be calling you today. If you need that, you come talk to me. Don't walk away with it. If he's nudging you, calling you, it's time. If you've not been baptized, it's time. Also in your worship folder, your senior connection card. Man, there's opportunities to attend membership class. We're just going to go. Membership class is a time to confirm our faith and what our church is about. And I invite you to that if you want to be confirmed in the faith. And we are a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, a Bible-believing conservative church, just on fire for Jesus. And there's youth ministry coming up. You're going to be involved in that. Look at other things in your notes. Also opportunities to get serving to help carry the gospel in your prayer requests. So with that, we'll continue our life group card. Life groups start this week. If you're not in a life group, man, get in a life group. Get around other people. This is how you get the fire. I went into Eden Garden. No, not Eden Garden. We were up in Estes Park, Colorado. We just spent time around people and God and just got away from all the stuff. Man, life group is your little oasis like that, to get around people and God and just let God speak. Get around it. Get in it. There's opportunities. Don't see one, let us know. We'll see if we can help and get another one. We got some other things in the wings to help do that. And so with that, we're going to continue our worship as we do. Ushers come along, and you can put your offering envelope and your connection card in the bucket. And also, we have a beach breakfast. And so up in that pavilion, you're welcome to join us for some fellowship, some breakfast. If you can hang around, we'd love to connect and then spur one another, encourage, love on each other as the church is the church. Let us rise and continue our worship.
I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. He's with me in the valley. He's with me in the fire. He's with me in the storm. God really loves us.
God really loves us.
God, we thank you for your unending eternal love for each and every one of us, Lord. And as you guys go forth today, just receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. See you next week. If we get some volunteers to help us break down, that would help tremendously. Appreciate it.